little bit about expectations for 2017. I'm not saying that the Lord spoke to me and I heard an audible voice and he said, this is what it is for 2017. But I will say that in seeking after the Lord and seeking his direction and so forth, these kind of things come up in my spirit, that God is going to take us into 2017 in a new way. And at one point, when Jesus came on the scene, when he spoke to his apostles, that people let me put it another way, when he spoke to fishermen and he was calling them into the apostolic, he spoke to them in a way that would absolutely transform their lives. He said to Peter and Andrew, he said, you come, you follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter and Andrew were fishermen. And he said, if you come with me, I will make you fishers of men. He spoke to them in a language that they would understand because they were fishermen and they were doing some things, how they got their livelihood. And he wanted to take what they had done in the past and begin to mold it for a greater commission than what they've ever used it for before. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you a people who will have more influence than what you've ever had in your life. And I'm sure when Peter and Andrew heard this, they wondered, how is this going to be? How is this going to take place? Now remember, they're fishermen. How much education do you think they had? I doubt if they had very much. The most education they had was how to throw the net out over the boat and how to survive in stormy seas and so forth. But he was going to take them out of that and cause them to be transformed in order for a greater commission. And I believe that God is taking us into something greater, and he wants us to be transformed so that he can do some greater things with us than what we've ever been through before. And I'm speaking to us not only individually, but corporately as a church. I believe God wants to move us to have greater influence than what we've ever had before. I'm praying that the church on Prince Edward Island, all the Christians on Prince Edward Island, might have greater influence in 2017. Not just this church, but the church in general. But I do believe that God says, I want FaithWork Center, I want the people of FaithWork Center to make an impact, not only in your personal lives and your family, but in your communities, because God is saying that if you will touch the communities, he'll touch your family. But if we don't, if we sit back now and say that I've got enough worries about trying to get my family into the kingdom, then we'll close the door to God moving in our lives in order to reach them and touch them. If we'll keep our eyes on what he has his eyes on, he will begin to turn his eyes upon our own desires, such as seeing our families come into the kingdom of God. So Jesus spoke to them. Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew and said, I'll make you fishers of men. He said, it's a new day. So 2017, year for more, year for influence, more anointing, more influence in their communities, more transformation, more impact. I believe God is setting us up for this. And I believe, in fact, I believe that the whole History Makers training is a part of what God wants us to do in 2017. I believe that he wants to use that in order to equip us to do the things that he's calling us to do. One of the things that we have talked about for many weeks now is the fact that we have to understand that you and I are in the kingdom of God and we're at war with the kingdom of darkness. We're at war with a kingdom that is trying to stifle the advancement of the kingdom of God. And if we will take that seriously, then we will step into a position where God will able to bring the greatness, release the greatness in us. You'll remember I talked about Gideon before and how God, the angel came to Gideon and called Gideon a mighty man of God, and Gideon was hiding from the enemy. And, you know, he didn't look like a mighty man of God, but the angel called him a mighty man of God. And it wasn't until he stepped into what God had called him to do that he began to do great things. You see, we can hide through our lives. We can go through our lives hiding away and just doing the little things that we think that we are supposed to do in order to maintain a certain lifestyle here on earth and get through life that way. Or we can say, God, I know there's something greater than me just going to work every day, me just doing the things that I'm doing in order to try to live a comfortable life. There's something greater for me to do. So God, I want to set myself in a place where I will be equipped to do the greater things. And as we begin to move out, I believe God, just like he anointed Gideon, he will anoint us. He will move us into greatness as the days continue. So we must remember that we are at war. There's a kingdom that is about to be torn down. You have an important part to play in it, to be able to tear down the kingdom of darkness, to be able to stifle what the enemy is putting out there to try to tempt the people who live, well, on Prince Edward Island. We live here, so we're talking about that. And so the enemy is trying to put temptations out to the people who are in our sphere of influence to be able to put them in a place of discouragement, into a place of bondage, so that he can be under their thumb. But God is calling us to a place where we can release them. And he wants us to place us strategically within the army of God. Mark 10:34 says, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword." Those are fighting words. Those are war words. I'm not to come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. What did Jesus mean by that? Well, if we were to go back into Jeremiah chapter 6, we would read about the Lord rebuking the priests of the day who are comforting the people. And they were saying, "Peace, peace." Listen to Jeremiah 6:14. "They also have healed the hurt of my people slightly." Talking to the priests here and the prophets of the day that weren't really honoring God, they said, "They've hurt, they're healed my people slightly." In other words, they made my people feel good for a while. They're telling the people things that would tickle their ears to make them feel good, and that they were declaring peace, peace. And the Lord was saying, "Where there is no peace." So Jesus is saying, "I'm not coming here to tell you that you're going to be in a place of peace here on earth." Remember, the Bible says, if you desire to serve God, you will be persecuted. It doesn't sound necessarily like peace, the world's peace. There is a God kind of peace to walk in that we can walk in upon the earth, but there is when it comes to kingdoms clashing, the kingdoms are not at peace. The kingdom of darkness is doing things to try to take over or try to advance his kingdom, the enemy's kingdom. But you and I are called to a greater commission to see Jesus and his kingdom advance. Mark 12:49, Jesus said, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I'm come to send fire upon the earth." So these are kind of war words. These are words that would speak to us, scriptures that would speak to us about the fact that we are in a battle. Now, John Paul Jackson, many years ago, wrote a book, and it was called Needless Casualties of War. And within that book, it told us a lot of things about how people had gone to war unequipped, and they became needless casualties of war. Now, unfortunately, many people in the body of Christ took that title to mean that there wasn't supposed to be any casualties of war. But there is no such thing as going to war with no casualties. There was no such thing as on the earth, when you look at the world going, the many world wars that have taken place and wars that have happened all over the world, nobody would ever expect that entering into a war that there would be no casualties. Nobody ever went into a huge battle expecting no casualties. And yet somehow the church has taken that attitude a lot of times, thinking that, well, God loves us so much that there'd be never any casualties of war. But that's not the case. If our major goal is not to see any casualties, we'll never enter into the battle. Our major goal cannot be no casualties at all. I believe we do have to have a goal. We don't want any needless casualties of war. But there'll be casualties. And that's one of the things that we have to admit. There will be casualties of war. What happened to Stephen, the first martyr, he proclaimed that the kingdom of God had come. He was working in the power of God. The miracles and signs and wonders that were walking through his life were absolutely wonderful. Yet he was stoned to death. He was a casualty of war, not a needless casualty. In fact, his martyrdom really opened the door to the advancement of the kingdom of God. But one of the things you and I must keep in mind as we enter into 2017, that there is a war and that we're going to have to step up and take our place in that war. And as we do, we'll talk a little bit later about how not to become a needless casualty of war. But the first thing that we have to remember is that there is a war to fight. Whether you're very, very young or really up there in age, you are still called to carry a shield. You're still called to carry a sword. You're still called to make an advancement in the kingdom of God. And God has this way of bringing us forward. You have been born to destroy the works of the devil. Another way to put this is that you were born to tear down the devil's kingdom. You were born to tear down the works of the devil. Another way to put it is that you were born to raise hell. You were born to raise hell. Raise being R-A-Z-E. You were born to raise hell. What does R-A-Z-E mean? It means to tear down, to demolish, to completely destroy. You were born to R-A-Z-E, hell. You were born to take down the enemy. In Matthew 16:38, Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not prevail against you." In other words, the forces of hell will not prevail as the kingdom of God is advancing. He was declaring to us that we are in a war, that hell is trying to come against us, but we are called to raise, R-A-Z-E, hell. We are called to demolish the enemy's strongholds, the holds that the enemy has over our lives and over our communities, over people's lives. We have been put on this earth at this time to tear down the enemy's kingdom. We are born to raise hell. That means to scrape or to erase the influence of the devil's kingdom. You've been put on this earth in 2017 to scrape away or to erase the devil's kingdom. It sounds similar to erase. And it means that you would erase something so that it would be remembered no more. You know, there's a day coming that we'll be in glory and that nobody will ever remember the devil's kingdom. It'll be totally erased from our thinking, from our lifestyle. We'll be living in glory and be totally forget about what has happened even while we were here on earth. But you and I have been born to bring his kingdom to a place where nobody even remembers that it's ever even existed. You are born to raise hell. In Matthew 4:23 says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people." Jesus went about doing good. He went about healing. He went about changing what the enemy had done, what the enemy had brought into the world. He went about raising the enemy's kingdom. He went about destroying the enemy's kingdom. And Jesus' work consisted of going about doing that, bringing life where the enemy was trying to bring death. Scripture says that people came to hear the word of God, hear Jesus' word, and to be healed of their diseases. So one of the things that we know of is that as we teach the word of God, as we preach the word of God, as we testify with the word of God, as we speak forth the things that God has done, we are actually involved in raising the enemy's kingdom. We are actually involved in tearing the enemy's kingdom down when we begin to declare the works of the Lord, the works that God has given, has worked through us. The things that he has done, how he has set us free. The enemy has tried to establish his kingdom. But when Jesus came upon the scene and filled his church with the Holy Spirit, they began to destroy what the enemy had set up. They began to destroy the systems that the enemy had set up. They began to raise hell. R-A-Z-E. Hell represents the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of darkness of this world. So anything that comes against the things that Satan uses to establish his kingdom is raising hell. Now let's read in Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus speaking here. He's talking very specifically about a lady who had gotten healed. Jesus always used the times that healing came about or certain circumstances came about. He always used these as opportunities to teach. Let's read in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmities." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. In other words, the rulers were saying, you shouldn't do anything on the Sabbath. You shouldn't even heal anybody. And he said to the crowd, the ruler said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day." Jesus said this woman was bound for 18 years, and she was bound by Satan, whom Satan has bound, think of it, 18 years. So part of the infirmity and the iniquity or the infirmity that was on this woman was part of Satan's kingdom, and Jesus came to tear that down. Jesus came to raise that influence. He came to bring deliverance to it and destroy the works of the devil in this woman's life. Now, I want you to notice something here, because many people will look and criticize the Pharisee, the ruler, and he was wrong thinking that, you know, you couldn't even heal on the Sabbath. He was just mad because Jesus was getting more attention than they were, the leaders of the synagogue. But Jesus never really blamed. He didn't blame the sickness and disease on the Pharisee. He blamed it on the devil. He said it was the devil's work. It was the devil that kept that woman bound these 18 long years. And sometimes we get off track because of religious thinking or pharisaical thinking, and we get off track and start looking at them as the enemy almost. But it's not. Jesus said that it was the devil that was the enemy in this case. It was the devil that held this woman bound these 18 long years. So even when we don't agree with other people in Christendom, we should have a heart of love toward them. Maybe they're missing it. Maybe they're being religious. Maybe they're thinking that things should be done in a different way that we don't necessarily agree with. But we shouldn't make them the enemy. We realize that the devil is the enemy, and he's the one that we have to come against. That's the one that we're at war with, not one another. God loves his people. He has his hands upon people and wants to bring everyone to a full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing that we can have in Jesus. But Jesus said that sickness, this sickness that was on this woman, was satanic oppression. And God has called us to be able to speak forth life to those who are under the oppression of the enemy. God has given us the duty, the responsibility of speaking salvation to mankind. And salvation is from the Greek word called sozo, and it means deliverance from all molestation of the enemy. In other words, anything that gets in that category of what the enemy would do, salvation has come to deliver us. Salvation has come, and you and I are to speak the word of God out so salvation can come to those who are being oppressed by the enemy. Acts 10:38, how God, remember how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Again, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed. Jesus went about raising the works of the devil. He went about really turning the card upside down on the enemy. He went about stopping his work, shifting the work that he was doing. And where the enemy was sowing seeds of death, Jesus began sowing seeds of life. And it's the same way with you and I. We're called to sow seeds of life everywhere we go. Seeds of encouragement everywhere we go. Not seeds of anger. You see, one of the problems that the church has is that when it does speak out against some of the things that governments do, some of the laws maybe that we don't like, some of the things that are happening that we don't like, we often speak out of a sense of anger. And what happens when we do that is that we're functioning in the same spirit that they're in. And God wants us to operate in the opposite spirit, where an angry person might blow up all the time. He wants us to speak truth and life in a very calm and loving fashion. You see, he wants us to operate in the opposite spirit from the enemy. Because if we get in line with the spirit that's behind the enemy, then we are really just doing the same thing they're doing. Have you ever read an article by a Christian writer, and they were making a statement about something maybe that the government had done, and you can read in that the anger that's coming out, the hatred for this person, as this person seemed like they have a personal hatred for that individual? Well, that's not God. We never seen Jesus do that. That's not God at all. He wants us to operate in the opposite spirit, in a spirit of love and peace and joy. If we will do that, we'll have much more influence. But Jesus came about, see, turning things around. He came about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He came about doing the works of God. The word oppressed there in that verse actually means to exercise harsh control over someone. When the enemy tries to exercise harsh control over somebody, they try to twist their thinking. The enemy tries to twist your thinking so that you'll become depressed, that you'll become despondent to the things of God, that you'll become hopeless, and that you'll think that you couldn't possibly have any influence to advance the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is still the good news that comes from heaven to men. The gospel is still the news that all men need to hear, that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man. He died. He bled and died on the cross so that you and I could have life, so that you and I could have a future, so you and I wouldn't have to remain under the thumb, under the oppression of the devil. You and I were born to raise hell. You and I were born to experience life. The writer of the 1 John, the Apostle John said this in 1 John 4:4, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The one that lies on the inside of you. Yes, the enemy wants to use his forces against us, but we are told that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Let's just read a couple of scriptures real quickly, because I have to move on real quickly here, just to really fortify to you that we're in a battle, and that the battle, for the most part, it has already been won by King Jesus, but we are told to enforce what has already been taken place, what Jesus has already won. In Romans 16:20, the Apostle Paul said, "And the God of peace," that's not the enemy, "the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Isn't that an interesting statement? He told the church, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." How is he going to do that? I believe he's going to do that through the church. I do believe that the Lord is going to use the church to come against every satanic action, and he will crush Satan under our feet. And that's something that we can rejoice about. We are born for this day. And how is he going to do it? What's going to happen? Isaiah 10:27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your neck, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And when we talk about the anointing of God, it is simply the power of God that is rubbed on the church in order to be able to stand against the enemy's tactics. the anointing of God, as we look to the Word and we talk about the Word and preach about the anointing of God, I believe the anointing of God is going to increase even in 2017, so that we're going to see more yokes breaking off. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You have to decide if you're going to be a candidate for the anointing to be increased in your life, to be able to stand against the enemy and what he's trying to do. You are going to have to decide whether you're going to be a candidate or not, or whether you're going to live 2017 just like you've always lived it. If you'll make a decision, say, no, Pastor, I'm going to be one of those people that I'm going to have an increased anointing, an increased presence of God upon my life. I'm going to wait for him and see the anointing of God being released unto my life. So here we are. We recognize we're in a battle. We recognize we're in a war. We don't want to have any needless casualties of war. So how can we prepare ourselves to be in a place where where we don't become a needless casualty of war? We're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 91 just for a few minutes. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, that word secret is an interesting word, because have you ever came up, you know, kids love this a lot of times when they're real little. You say, I'm going to tell you a secret in your ear, and then they want to tell you a secret in your ear. And it's like you're telling nobody else, you're just telling that person. You're close to that person. You see, secrets are for close people who are within your circle, people who are close to you, people who that you might be even intimate with. You would tell them a secret because you don't want other people to know. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So there is a secret place of the Most High. Why is it secret? Because the world doesn't know where it is. And unfortunately, most Christians don't either. It is a secret place. And if you're going to hear a secret from the Lord, you're going to have to pay attention to him. You're going to have to be one of those people that he would desire to tell a secret to. You see, that he might trust you with a secret, that he might trust you to be able to come up alongside of you and speak into your ear and talk about his secret place, the secret place of the Most High. See, 2017, God wants you to draw a bit closer to him, where your devotion time each day might take just a little bit longer and might be a part of, Lord, draw me closer. Draw me closer. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Well, just because you're saved, the Father can still be drawing you closer to Jesus. Just because you came into the kingdom of God, just because you have the call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, doesn't mean you're as close as you can get. You see, you can draw closer to him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, there's something interesting. And notice that you have to come close to Jesus in order to hear about his secret place. But if you're going to get under the shadow of his wing, there's something you must do also. Not only must you know where his secret place is, but you must understand how a shadow works. Do you remember in Acts when the people were sick? There was many sick, and they pulled all the people who were sick and put them in the marketplace so that even Peter's shadow might be cast over them so that they might be healed. Now, the thing about being under the shadow of the Lord is that when the Lord moves, you must, if you want to stay under his shadow. You see, if the Lord moves, just like when he was leading the children of Israel to the desert, you remember that the cloud was over them, and that whenever the cloud moved, that the children of Israel had to move because they wanted to stay under the protection of God. So whenever he moved, they had to move. So if we're going to remain under the shadow of the Lord's protection, then we must understand how he is moving, where he is going, what he is doing. You see, some of the things that he has did in past years, he's not necessarily doing today. You see, sometimes he's creating a new wineskin so that he can pour new wine into it. In other words, he wants to do sometimes the same thing in a different way. And we must understand that, or we'll not be under his shadow. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we must be willing to move when he moves. Now look at verse 4. Well, let's read verse 2 as well. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he shall, the Lord, shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So there is a snare that the enemy would try to keep us in. There's traps out there. The enemy puts traps out there in order to catch us into something. And we're calling on the Lord, we're looking to the Lord to help us to be able to understand where these pitfalls are so we won't get messed up. Now, sadly, I've been ministry long enough to see people fall into traps, to fall into snares, and see their lives totally wrecked when they get caught in that. And many times it's because they haven't listened to some people who have gone the way of the Lord for a lot longer than they have. They get caught in a trap of the enemy, whether it's an offense of some kind. They begin listening to words that would discredit the church. They begin to hear about the faults of the church, and how many know we have faults? We're not perfect. We have faults. This church isn't perfect. Other than that it's under God, we have faults. And you could probably spend a day talking about our faults in this church if you wanted to, if that's the route that you wanted to take. We don't pretend that we have no faults, but that is a snare of the devil in order to get us shipwrecked. And it's really sad to see how the enemy has used snares over the years to absolutely shipwreck people's lives over and over and over again. But I'm sharing some things with you this morning to help you to stand firm, that you will not become a needless casualty of war. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth is your shield and buckler. He will cover you with his feathers. Remember Jesus said, well, let's see, what verse is it in? He talked about in verse 13 of the Gospel of Luke, verse 34. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. In other words, the one who will not listen to God's word. How often, Jesus said, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. He said, I wanted to take you and under my wings. I wanted to gather you under my wings in order to protect you. And he used the metaphor of a hen gathering her chicks. I remember years ago being brought up in a farm just as a little kid. I remember one day my mom was saying that there's a hawk outside and he's going to get a hold of the chicks. And the mother hen noticed that hawk, and somehow she called them to herself, and she reached herself way up with the wings and got over all her little chicks to be able to protect them really well. And Jesus used that illustration to speak to us as his people. And he said, as a mother hen gathers her chicks, you know what happens if one of those chicks don't pay attention to a mother hen? It's out there all on its own. You see, as you and I, as children of God, we must pay attention to the Lord. We must be close enough to him that we're able to hear what the Spirit is saying at any given time in order that we might be under the shadow of his wings, that we might be covered by his feathers, we might be protecting him, or we might be protected by him. Now notice this verse. It says that he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. Then the word says, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Jesus said, my words are truth, and Jesus is truth. When we hear the words of Jesus, that is our shield and buckler. That when we take our time to meditate on the words of Jesus, that is our shield. Our shield from what? Our shield from the enemy's snare. Our shield from the enemy's attack. You see, if we will stay close to him, He will cover us with his feathers. He will allow us to be under the shadow of his wing. He will speak to us about his secret place. And he says, you can come in. You can come in to me. You can come into my secret place. I trust you. I know that I can be able to allow you to be able to understand how to get into the secret place. Jeremiah says about the Lord, if you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. See, that's talking about coming into the secret place of the Most High God. Glory to Jesus. And as we do that, we'll begin to understand. We'll be able to hear what the Lord is saying to us. We'll be able to hear his voice. Because you were born to raise, R-A-Z-E, you were born to raise hell, and the enemy knows that. And he wants to stop you. He wants to put you out. But as we're going into 2017, I'm going in with rejoicing, knowing that we're going to strategically attempt to do some things that we've never done before, and we're expecting that same anointing that came upon Gideon when God called him out to be able to come against the enemy, and he did the little seemingly insignificant things that God told him to do. God anointed them and defeated the whole enemy army. And we're going into 2017 with this great expectation. No matter what's holding you back today, I believe that 2017 can be your year of release, your year of freedom, your year of getting out and doing things that you've always longed to do, but you've never really knew how to do them, or you never really knew how to get involved in a strategic design system in order to make things happen. You see, one of the things that has happened over the years that the church has not done nearly as well at as the enemy was that when the enemy tries to do something and change society, they have a strategic plan how to do it. They have a strategic plan, and it may take decades to get their plan through, but they will stay with it and make it happen. And I believe the church is finally waking up to the fact that if we don't have a strategic plan, if we don't have a system, then 10 years from now, we're going to have the same thing that we've got today. But if we have a strategic plan, a system, and there are a group of people who are willing to sacrifice their lives in order to see the next generation better off than what you and I have, then God will anoint that. God will move upon us, and the things that we begin to do, suddenly we'll find that the power of God is all over it. And you'll wonder, how did I ever get into this place where I've got so much influence? We'll wonder, how did we ever get to this place where the laws that we thought could never be changed are now going toward the kingdom of God? I believe this can happen if there's a group of people who would say, enough is enough when it comes to the enemy's kingdom, that I've been born for such a time as this, and we're going to see hell raised. Amen? Amen. Glory to Jesus. I pray that you'll be excited about 2017, going into it with great hope, with a great future. There are things that we can count on going into 2018 that will be different than what we are experiencing today. People's lives change, things continue to change. Janice, you got something to tell us about? That you're going into 2017, an expectation that you're going into 2017 with? Stand up and face the people.
Expectation. Well, I was just talking to, I got a message from Bill last night asking if I wanted to say something about where I was in 2016 and what I'm coming into in 2017. I realized last night, and it didn't take me long for this to hit me, like what the big difference where I was to where I came from to where I am now. I remember there was a point last year where I would be coming to church, being me, and bubbly and happy, but there was something in me that I did not know what was wrong, but something was wrong with me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I talked to many people about it. I prayed with many people about it. I didn't know. I felt stagnant. I felt empty. I felt... I don't know what other words to use. I felt blocked. I didn't know what was wrong with me, and I would cry. I would pray. And then I realized that I was held in bondage, and whatever that bondage might be, whether for me it was I was wanting to quit smoking, and that's finally been taken from me. But at the time, I didn't know what it was. Now, it may have just been smoking, but it was also the way that I was speaking, saying, I was speaking death. I can't do this, or I can't quit, or I can't. So words have power, and that's what how I was speaking out a lot last year, and that's why this, I think, stayed with me for so long. And it was difficult because I really did not know what was wrong and why I didn't feel like I was moving forward. So I did pray about it, and other people prayed with me for it, about it. And I realized that that's what it was, that I was held in bondage. And when that was taken from me, I realized what a freedom there is when you have something taken from you. Well, being out of bondage in that situation anyways with smoking, but it just has to do with all aspects of my life, like in how I speak and how I talk and how I know like what, how God moves in my life and what work he's done in my life. And going into 2017, I'm going in with a new attitude. Like I know that I'm going in with great expectation. I'm going in with hopefulness. I'm going in. I know that God's working my life. I know that something big is going to happen. I know that this is new beginnings for me. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what 2017 has to hold without me being held back and being the way I used to be. So I'm very excited going into 2017.
Let me ask you one question. Do you think that getting rid of that nicotine had more effect on you than just the fact that your physical body was better off without it? Do you think that there was other things attached to that?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain. Having that addiction, but that's how I was speaking out. I was speaking out in a negative way, saying, I can't quit that, I can't quit that, I can't do this. So having that in the area of smoking, let's just say, but that carried over into all parts of my life.
Right.
Because that's how I was speaking in all parts of my life.
Right.
And that's death. I'm not speaking life in any sense.
And now you're speaking life.
Right. So that was really holding me back. It wasn't the nicotine or the smoking. It was I was being held in my mind thinking that
that's
it's just
good.
The words that I was using that I can't.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah,
thanks
but
for
I
sharing.
Can't.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's stand up and just worship.